Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wow, there are some sensitive snowflakes on the text line. Oh my God. Can't handle a conversation about media and comedy. Wow. Okay. It's mind-boggling to me. It really is. Try to be tough. Keyboard tough, but guys. It's ridiculous. Regardless, let's talk about the NFL draft. Because I did this on the national show on Sunday, and I think it went pretty well. But I admit that I don't have all of the answers. And, you know, sometimes I think I have all the answers. Most of the time I admit, hey, I'm just a guy with an opinion. I've thought about this a lot because I love watching the draft. Thank you. But you guys know how I feel about mock drafts and the stuff beforehand, right? Like, we don't know anything, but we try to guess. And we don't have as much information as the teams. And it's fun, and it's how you build a team. And we all will click on all the mock drafts. Matt Miller, Mike Mayock, Mel Kiper, whomever it is. Click, click, click. Huge cottage industry. Millions and millions, if not billions and billions of dollars. 11 million people watched last Thursday by itself. Not to mention the radio. Our online stream numbers were through the roof for our Bears draft coverage. Like, clearly there is a huge audience of people out there for draft content, and I am in that group. I've already read Matt Miller's thing on 2019, Joey Bosa's brother, Drew Locke, top quarterback. Like, I love it, right? I'm as addicted as anybody. But I want to make it better. And I'm going to lay out the argument or the case. And then you guys could tell me at 312-644-6767 or text line 670-11 whether or not you think that it's possible that even though the draft is great, having no draft would be better. This is basically like turning a cheeseburger into a bacon cheeseburger with a fried egg. Like, we're taking something that is great and we're making it better.
So by adding the egg, it's better. And by adding the bacon, you get the most overrated thing possible.
Shut up, Shep.
Just speaking truths.
All right, it's a three-pronged point about how we don't need drafts and we should not have them. And I'm not going to talk about baseball. I'm not going to talk about hockey. I'm not going to talk about basketball. Just through the prism of football. It clearly would be more fair to the players. Can we agree on that? That if there was no draft and there was rookie free agency, it would be more fair to the players. If you pass the bar in Illinois and you want to go be a lawyer and seven different law firms are offering you a gig and one of them is the law firm that your best friend works at, so that's appealing. One of the law firms is the area of law that you're most interested in. One of the law firms is headquartered in the suburbs in a great school district for your kids. Another law firm has the best path to being a partner. The person who graduates from law school and passes the bar has options, right? They can choose where they think is the best fit for their family, for their lifestyle, for their career, whatever the case may be. If you're the top computer engineer, you don't say, oh, you got to go to the crappy startup in Austin. You can't go work for NVIDIA or Google or Amazon in Silicon Valley. But in the NFL, if you're Andrew Luck and you're the consensus number one pick, you have to go to the Colts. That's where you go. You can't negotiate for a higher salary. You can't choose to go play for a coach that fits your system. You can't choose if you want to live by your wife's family or in a warm weather city or with a great wide receiver or a great offensive line. If you're the number one pick in the draft, you've got to go. Baker Mayfield has to go to the Browns. Andrew Luck had to go for the Colts. You can't use your bidding. You can't interview the team for fits. Every time we see any of those combine interviews, pro day interviews, it's always the team interviewing the player. Some of the player talking to the team. So it's very team slanted right now. So the first reason why I think we should do away with drafts is that it would be more fair to the player. The second reason, and I think that one's pretty hard to dispute. Now, most people don't care about the player because you're just rooting for your team, but I think that one's pretty hard to dispute. That's the first part. Doing away with drafts would be better for the players. Second part that I think might be a little tougher to sell you on, but I think it's accurate, is that it would actually be better for the teams. And here's the argument. So many times you hear these GMs talk about how they've got to just draft according to their board. Right? You take the best player available. Even if you don't necessarily have a huge need at that position. The Bears' biggest need this offseason was clearly edge rusher. Right? Would you agree with that, Shep? Far and away?
Yeah, I think that's far and away number one.
Okay. How many good edge rushers were there in this draft?
There were, first round-wise, there were what? Five, whatever it was that ended up being taken.
There was one blue chipper, though.
Right, there was one far and away.
There was one guy that was like, this guy's going to be good, right? Harold Landry's got injury concerns.
10 picks ahead of the next one.
Exactly right. Davenport's project, small school. Like, there was only one guy that everyone was like, this guy's going to be good. But the Bears couldn't get him. They couldn't get Bradley Chubb. In this scenario, you could say, I want to put more of my resources into getting that player. If the Patriots were like, we want Mike McGlinchey, the tackle from Notre Dame, they can be like, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to recruit Mike McGlinchey. I'm going to sell him on blocking for Tom Brady. We're going to use all of our resources to go out and get that player. So you could go after the prospects that best fit your needs as opposed to reaching for the positions. Feeling like, oh, I've got to reach for a quarterback. Oh, I messed up with a wide receiver in the past, so I've got to double down and get that there. You'd be able to allocate your rookie resources more appropriately based on what you actually needed on a team as opposed to just what fell to you in the draft. And the myth of competitive balance, people will say, well, the draft is there so that there's competitive balance in the NFL, so there's parity in the NFL. Parity in the NFL is established by the salary cap. Period, full stop. There's a floor of what you can spend. There's a max of what you can spend. That's why there's parity. The Cleveland Browns draft at the top of every damn draft. They're never good. You build a good organization through scouting, through ownership, through player development. It's not through the draft. This isn't the NBA where there's five guys on the floor. You got LeBron James. You're good. Like, it's football. Like, Andrew Luck was the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. He hasn't won anything because they traded a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, and he's been hurt. There's, like, just so many variables in building a good football team. Now, clearly, one great quarterback does a lot of things.
Right, but you have to draft well regularly. If you're going to have sustained success outside of having Aaron Rodgers, outside of having Tom Brady or one of those guys, you damn well better be drafting and hitting on more picks than you're missing on.
Right, but that...
It's like, it doesn't guarantee you anything, but if you're not doing it, it guarantees that you're not doing that.
Right, but that's really... But if you said you better draft well regularly, if I just changed that to you better scout rookies well, it's the same thing. Like, it's not about the position at which you are in the draft.
Oh, and recruit well then, too.
Exactly.
Because you have to add that in.
Which brings me to the last point that I actually think you, and then we'll talk about this at three, because I don't have all the answers on this one. But 312-644-6767. The draft is fun, but would this be more fun? Not only more fair to the players, not only better to the teams for building it, but would it be more fun for us as football fans? And here's my argument for it. You ever play in a fantasy football league where it's a snake draft? 12-team league. You got the 7th pick. Let's say this upcoming year, Todd Gurley's the number one pick in fantasy football. And you want to get Todd Gurley, but you've got the 7th pick in the draft. You can't get him. But what's the more fair way to do it? An auction draft. Then everybody gets to say what they would bid for Todd Gurley's services. That's what I'm arguing for here. You would take the excitement and the tension and the drama and the fan interest of National Signing Day for college football, and then put it on the NFL level. So instead of Baker Mayfield as the number one pick to the Cleveland Browns, you would still have Matt Miller. You would still have Mike Mayock. You would still have Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. You'd still have a selection show. But instead of Roger Goodell, the Cleveland Browns select quarterback from Oklahoma, it would be Roger Goodell introducing Baker Mayfield, who puts on the hat of the Arizona Cardinals, or Quentin Nelson puts on the hat of the Chicago Bears, or whatever the case may be. You would empower the players to see. It'd be like a signing day. The players choose. The kid who gets recruited to Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, and LSU chooses Alabama. The player makes the choice. This would be the player making the choice. And people are talking about the optics of it. Man, this is better for players. Like what ESPN did with that auction was a bad look because there was literally an auctioneer up there and guys' heads were on sticks, and that was a bad look optically. This is better for the players. They already have to go through and do that marketplace and the combine, and their salaries are artificially deflated. This is about player empowerment. I'm pro-player. This puts more power in the players' hands. And then you'd have recruitment of guys. And people have said, but Danny, everybody would just go play for the Cowboys. No one would sign with the Packers because Green Bay isn't a desirable place to live. No one would sign in Buffalo. First of all, those places already have geographic difficulties that they have to overcome when it comes to free agency. But it's a salary cap sport. These guys want money. They want money and playing time. That's how you get the second contract, right? You get money is what gives you security, and playing time is how you prove yourself in the league. So if Baker Mayfield enters this draft, and he's the number one quarterback prospect, he's not going to Green Bay. He's not going to Chicago. He's not going to Houston. He's not going to Kansas City. They already have their guys. Baker Mayfield... Apparently, there was a report today that both the Giants and the Jets had Baker Mayfield as their number one quarterback in the draft. So in theory, Baker Mayfield would then, he'd have an agent, and he'd be able to say, all right, Jets, make me an offer. Giants, make me an offer. Browns, make me an offer. Cardinals, make me an offer. He'd be able to do interviews with all of those coaches. Where do I want to live? What's the best fit for me? Football-wise, when do I get on the field fastest? Who's willing to guarantee me the most money? And then that player selects the team that he's going to go to. So to me, it's a three-pronged thing. One, it's more fair to the players. I think that's hard to argue against. Because right now, they got no say in the matter. Everyone else, you go to college, you get a job, you could go work for anyone who's willing to employ you. Every team in the NFL was willing to employ Quentin Nelson. But he was only able to go to the Colts. Every team in the NFL would have been willing to employ Bradley Chubb, but he was only able to go to the Broncos. So he's not able to negotiate a higher salary. He's not able to choose where he lives, all those sort of things. So I think it's clearly better for the players. For the teams, I think not being forced to draft at a certain spot and being able to say, we love this rookie class. We want to spend a ton of money on this rookie class. Or we really don't like this rookie class. We don't want to spend money on it. And only being able to cherry pick for your needs, I think it would be better for team building. And for us, man, it'd be so much more exciting. If it was like, instead of the New York Jets are on the clock, it'd be like Sam Darnold is on the clock. And you would just have this spectacle of players choosing teams. I think it would be a home run. 312-644-6767. Let's start getting some of your reaction. Frank on the Northwest side says my point makes no sense. Tell me why, Frank.
Well, first of all, when you compare it to a guy graduating from law school, I mean, even a guy graduating from law school, he's going to get a pretty handsome contract. But it pales in comparison to what guys in the NFL get, especially if they're first-round draft picks.
Why does that matter?
Well, you're saying it's more fair, okay? But you know something? It's fair for these guys when they reach that whatever their second contract, then they're eligible for free agency. You're not going to have any competitive balance at all. Okay.
Why?
Okay. And now here's the next question. You mentioned the salary cap. If it was like a hockey salary cap where it was a hard cap, then it might make a little bit of sense. All right. But you know what? Of the teams that are in, let's say, Jerry Jones and those guys, they'll just spend as much as they need to spend, and then they'll go on and they'll spend double.
Well, no, there's a salary cap.
Is it a hard cap like hockey?
This isn't the English Premier League.
It's a cap like if you're over the cap, you got to pay the luxury tax.
Well, there's a luxury tax in the NBA. There's an ability for balloon payments for some things in the NFL. And like, listen, the financial side of this, I agree with you, would need to be worked out so that Jerry Jones can't just outspend everybody like Manchester United does in the EPL. Like, I'm with you. Maybe there is you've got your overall salary cap and you've got a rookie salary cap. My point is, there's already free agency. There's restricted free agency. There are franchise tags. There's a salary cap. There's all sorts of things that are already in play in the NFL that do not allow for all of the good talent to be in one city. This would just be another mechanism for it. Texter writes in, basically you want them to go into free agency straight out of college. Yeah, exactly. Like any other workforce. And some people are texting in, you're giving way too much power to a young athlete coming right out of college. Man, what are you talking, like, so 18-year-olds vote, go to the military, go to a trade school, go to college, like, make all those decisions, but a 21-year-old who's played a couple of years of college football with the guidance of an agent can't decide what professional football team he wants to sign a 4-year contract for? I mean, why not? I think it would be great. 312-644-6767. In Homer Glen, Dan is on the score.
Hey, how you doing, Danny? Hey, I like your theory on things. You know, it's a little bit of a free market economics compared to this current system of serfdom where a guy's tied to his lord and land right there.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you and I know that the NFL is too conservative, and for a change like that to happen, it would be radical. But one thing that I do want to see is that I'm sick and tired of seeing Cleveland getting the first pick year in, year out, being rewarded for terrible play. Well, you have teams that are, you know, hovering around 500 that could maybe benefit from having a first round draft pick and take it from there. But the current system as it is, I don't like it. They should possibly even look at maybe how Major League Baseball operates, where a kid can get drafted out of high school. He can opt to either sign or go to college. And then he has, I think, two more times where he can get drafted. So that's a level of choice right there. But yeah, I don't see things changing, Dan.
No, listen, well, that's a different argument. Will it change? No, but I'm doing this as a thought exercise. I'm not saying that the NFL is going to do away with it. They just set a record for the viewership of the draft. But a texter points out, people should remember, sports is entertainment. Yeah, it is. But it doesn't mean we can't make it more fair for the kids involved. And I'm arguing that this would be more entertaining. You don't think it would be more, like, okay, so the Bears have a second-round pick, right? They take they take Anthony Miller as their second-round pick. They don't pick again until the fourth round. If you're a Bears fan, you could tune out. What if every player who came across the stage could end up, he could put on a hat for the Bears? You'd be tracking recruitment visits. Which guys, they'd have final lists. Are the Bears in their final group? Like, the possibilities on this are
endless.
Do you
enjoy National Signing Day? Like, college sports-wise?
Well, no, I think it's a little gross because people fawn over high school athletes, and
sure,
what they're choosing is
not getting
paid.
But outside of it being a 17-year-old versus now a 21-year-old, what is the huge difference there, ultimately?
Between what?
Between what this would be versus...
Not much.
Like, I just... In saying it's undoubtedly unworldly better. Like, I loved the college recruiting thing when I was about 16, 17 years old, and it was people that were my age. And then it's just the whole dirtiness of it, the weirdness of it, and it does not strike my fancy whatsoever. Show me who has the best class at the end of the day, and okay, that's fine and dandy. I just look at this part of it, and it'd be very much like the same thing. Oh, the Patriots decided to go all in this year. Cool. Well, I guess the Patriots are going to be really damn good again because they have a bunch of young talent, and I'm not so sold that it would just be that much better by default because it'd be different.
Well, I'm asking if it would be. We've never seen it at the professional level. But the thing is, though, Shep, in National Signing Day, there's always like a couple of guys whose decisions are up in the air that day, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
The coaches know.
Or the one that commits at 7 a.m. that changes it by 4 p.m.
Right. But this would be, you'd do it the same thing. You would say, but instead of like, there wouldn't be early commitments. Like a guy signs an early commitment to go play for Harbaugh.
So what happens
Michigan.
Then? Like you have Baker Mayfield essentially on the clock and he has 10 minutes to decide.
Yes.
And then Sam Darnold like, oh, you're up next. Where are you going type of thing?
Yes.
Like that would just be, how would you work out the timing of it all?
I don't know.
Like you put 30 guys or 32 guys in a room for night one and just decide, all right, you're the pick of the litter.
Yeah. You could have a committee. We've got a committee for college basketball. You could have a committee of the Bill Polians of the world, the Lewis Riddicks of the world, who would say these guys are invited to the draft and they make their selections on the first night. And then these players for X, Y, and Z for the second night. And you know what I mean? Even if it's not in order and like this guy signed the bigger contract or whatever, like that would be anonymous, but you'd have that ability. Like I'm not a TV executive. I don't know exactly how you'd execute the TV show. I just think it would empower the players, and if you could pull it off, where instead of the Jets are making the pick, it's the players making the pick, and then all of a sudden it was your team, there'd be a frenzy for it.
Like, because I think you definitely have, your idea has wheels. I don't know if draft-wise it's the perfect place for it. Because, like, I think of Major League Baseball. What would be the best thing Major League Baseball could do this offseason is do what LeBron James did in the summer of 2010, and that's hold your interview, hold your actual appearance of, I'm committing to this team then. Like, if baseball were able to put it together this offseason and have Bryce Harper say, yep, Don's the Cubs hat or Don's the Yankees hat, and that's where he's going. Manny Machado does the same thing, and, like, they make a show out of it. Like, I think it, for guys you know a ton more about, it would benefit that sport a ton. Like football wise, and it's all kind of like everyone at the draft's great, you know, is kind of the thought process we all have of, oh, he's first round pick, this guy's gonna be great and change his franchise. And I don't know if it being without a track record of professional success would change the viewpoint, I guess, as much as maybe we're thinking here.
All right. I want to get a little bit more reaction on this. Do you agree that it would be better for the players? You can see me that it would be, it's more fair.
I
to
think
the
it
players.
Unquestionably would be
okay.
I think what that comes down to is how much do you think the players are screwed? Is kind of the question that you're leaving most NFL fans with then, of like how bad, not bad do they have it, but how much are they taking advantage of?
Yeah, Cleveland would have to pay a premium to overcome them being bad, but they already have to do that in other elements of the game. And quarterbacks would, it's not like people, no one would choose to go play in Cleveland. If they have a starting quarterback opening and they're willing to pay the most money for the top prospect, that guy will go there. Those are the things that matter. Playing time and money. Those are the two biggest ones. It's not like everyone would be like, you know what? I'd rather be a backup in Miami than a starter in Cleveland. Like I'll be a backup in Miami for less money or a starter in Cleveland for no money. Trust me, plenty of people are choosing Cleveland in that scenario. Ton of you are giving some great feedback here, including an awesome idea on Twitter. We'll get into that. Also, why my old Kansas City Royals, the team I used to cover, talk about hypocrites. It's embarrassing what they did over the weekend against the White Sox. We'll get into that. Michael Lombardi at 4 on the score. McNeil and Parkins brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Just going through the thought exercise of the draft is fun, the draft is awesome, but would it be better if there was no draft at all? The players could choose what teams they wanted to play for. It'd be more fair to the players. The teams could go after the guys they really want, not just who's the best player at a position that they don't really need on the board. And you would take the frenzy of National Signing Day and bring it to the NFL draft. Someone says, well, what happens if the Jets make an offer for Baker Mayfield and they make an offer for Sam Darnold? Do they have time to adjust the contract? It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. Like I said, I don't have all the answers here. I just believe a lot in player empowerment. I'm very pro-player. And I think that it makes sense to have the players have more of a say in where they go. And I really think it'd be better for the Bears. I think it'd be better for any team. First team say, you know what? No, we need a specific thing. Like instead of we're going to have all this depth, if you need a bunch of depth, you can sign 15 rookies to lower deals. draft pick quality guys to lower deals. Or you're like, we only are two or three stars away. We're going to go all in for the guys at the top. And different thing that I didn't even think about. Let's say it was Andrew Luck. Let's say there was a clear-cut top QB. All right, well, Andrew Luck was going to the Colts, right? There was no drama in the Andrew Luck draft. What if Andrew Luck came out next year and the Saints were like, we're cutting Drew Brees? Or the Chargers were like, we're cutting Phillip Rivers? Or the Steelers were like, we're cutting Ben Roethlisberger to make salary cap space to make a run at rookie quarterbacks? The thing about the NFL is a 365-day-a-year sport. But what it doesn't really have is trades. That's why this past year was so great with trades. It doesn't have a trade deadline like baseball. The NBA offseason at times is more entertaining than the NBA in-season because of where's LeBron going to go? Where's Westbrook going to go? Where's Paul George going to go? Where's Kawhi going to go? All of like the player movement stuff. There would be much more player movement if teams were negotiating around this way for play, because they'd be like, we're willing to spend more on the young guy, so we'll get rid of the old guy. So all of a sudden, the old guys are available to be free agents, and another team would be like, oh, wow, Phillip Rivers is available? That's a huge upgrade for what I have. Drew Brees is available? That's a huge upgrade for what I have. I just think it's interesting. We'll do a few more minutes on this, and then we'll get to the Tim Anderson stuff. 312-644-6767. I didn't want to, no offense, Chip, but I actually wanted to talk to Corey, and I hit the wrong button. What's up, Corey? You're on the Score.
Nothing, man. I really like the idea. I think one of the things that I like most about it is that I think whether it's the intentional or unintentional tanking, I think you take that out of the equation, because teams would want to be attractive for people to sign. So you'd have a lot less of that unintentional, intentional tanking where teams would be more competitive. So I think that's another aspect of your idea.
Great point. If you want to be a winner, there's no incentive to tank to get to the top of the draft. It's a great point. Did not even factor that into my argument. I should have. Ray says I'm insane. Go ahead, Ray. Are you at all interested in the thought of doing away with the draft and replacing it with player empowerment and rookie free agency?
You know, I get your thought, but the problem is this. Everybody wants going to want to play in a big market because of all the outside money. What are you going to do about the outside money? Nobody wants, even if you're the best quarterback in the NFL and you play for a small market, nobody's going to buy your jerseys. Being the face of the Cleveland Browns is not like being the face of the New York Giants.
What about Aaron Rodgers and his discount double check commercials?
Yeah, but I mean, he's the exception rather than the rule. I mean, people who are even, not as well known as Aaron Rodgers make money in Chicago, whether it's appearances or anything else. That's where they're making money. Aaron Rodgers is a once in a lifetime, in my estimation, quarterback. Nobody else has done what Aaron Rodgers has done before him. Not even Brett Favre, who was an outstanding quarterback.
Brett Favre had endorsement deals. Listen, you're right. Like, there would be an advantage for endorsement deals in big markets. There's no question about that. But that already exists.
Yeah, not to the extent of. I mean,
why? It would just exist more for rookies like it does for free agents.
Well, but there's more places to go to in a metropolitan area of 5 or 6 million people, and whether it's appearing at a Binney's Beverage Depot or this signing or that signing, than if you're in Buffalo, New York, and the town is much smaller.
No, Aaron Rodgers makes a lot of money. I agree with that, Ray, but that already exists. So teams in the smaller markets would have to do it other ways. They'd have to be a winning team. They'd have to offer more salary for the football player.
Yeah, but outside of the thing in Dallas, who else in Green Bay besides Aaron Rodgers makes that type of outside money? When Lance Briggs played here with Urlacher, they're both making a lot of outside money because it's the Chicagoland area.
Ray, I agree with that, and I appreciate the point. You're absolutely right. For outside endorsement money, big markets would have an advantage. Period, full stop. But that already exists. Like, I don't think that the guy, like Sam Darnold, maybe he chooses the Jets over the Cardinals because of the endorsement dollar differences. But if the Cardinals have a better offensive coach, he's able to start sooner, they've got good wide receivers, and they're offering him $2 more million a year in salary, I think he might choose the Cardinals over the Jets. Don't have to deal with the New York Post, the back page, the taxes in New York. There's reasons to live all over the country. LeBron would have chosen Cleveland because he was from Cleveland. Like, it's not like the guy who is from Georgia, goes to Georgia, just has a lifelong dream of living in New England because he loves Boston. Like, maybe the Falcons would have an advantage for that guy. Maybe the best player from Wisconsin would want to play for the Packers. It's not like there wouldn't be cases for all, and that'd be fun. It'd be a fun wrinkle. I'm just thinking out loud. It's just a thought about ways to do it better. And yeah, I admit, it's about player empowerment for me in a big way. The Royals are huge hypocrites, and I love Tim Anderson for exposing it. We'll talk about it before Michael Lombardi at 4 on the Score. So disappointed in Salvador Perez. Welcome back into the Score. McNeil and Parkins. I'm Danny Parkins flying solo. Michael Lombardi will spew NFL thoughts coming up at 4 o'clock. I think he liked the Bears' top couple of picks. We'll talk draft with Michael Lombardi in a little bit. Good call there, NBC Sports Chicago, with the audio. It was an embarrassment by the Royals. And I get it. Like, they're bad, and they were good. And Salvador Perez is a great player, and it's not fun to be a great player on a bad team that was once good and feel like you're getting shown up a little bit. But Tim Anderson was just hooting and hollering after hitting a home run. And that's how he plays the game. And this baseball stuff is ridiculous. It's getting out of hand with the unwritten rules and the celebration and the flair for the dramatic. But, like, that's just a dime a dozen sports story to me, right? Like, we see this all the time in baseball. Rick Renteria said there's too many unwritten rules. But the hypocrisy of it being Salvador Perez is the thing that really bothers me. Tanny, you have Salvi postgame after his explanation where he did not really apologize or back off what he did with Tim Anderson. Except you don't want to have fun. Like, it's the proverbial pot calling the kettle black. I covered those Royals teams. They all had a different hand signal for everything that they could do on the base. Every single one of them. I mean, they were fighting with the White Sox. They were fighting with the A's. They were fighting with the Twins. They fought with everybody. Because everybody thought the Royals were acting like they had never been there before. And they hadn't been there. And I defended the Royals at the time because it was ridiculous. It was absolutely absurd that people were hating on the Royals for being fun and having fun playing the sport. Salvador Perez is the guy that after every win, when they were a 75-win team and when they were a 94-win team, would do a Gatorade bath on the field in the postgame interview. Every game. They go to 2-1 on April 14th. He's doing the Gatorade celebration like they just won the World Series or they won the Super Bowl. This is a guy who loves playing the game with flair. This is a guy who loves celebrations. This is a guy who will be on the top step, who will do the Gatorade bath, will run onto the field when his teammate hits a home run. It's laughable. He is the most fun-loving guy in that clubhouse, which was largely filled with fun-loving guys during their run. And so for him, of all people, he would have been, like, Javi Baez would probably be the last person I would think who would take umbrage with someone else having fun while playing baseball. But Salvador Perez would be on the list. Like, in my top five of guys who I am the most floored that would have an issue with a baseball player having fun. So, do you, Tim Anderson. Like, I don't get it. And I think baseball is just doing itself a tremendous disservice. And I'll admit that I'm surprised that it's Salvador Perez, and I'm surprised it's a Latin player. Like, Salvi has so much fun playing the game. And when you watch the World Baseball Classic, the Latin teams had so much more fun playing the game. It was just, it was in the stands, the handshakes, the music, the chants, everything that was going on the field. It's just, it's crazy. It was one of the more surprising stories. And it was ridiculous. I mean, James Shields hugging Mike Moustakas. Like, no one was going out there to fight, but, like, much ado about less than nothing. But it's the proverbial pot calling the kettle black. Like, the Royals celebrated more than the Cubs. Like, than most teams. Like, in terms of the Cubs have a lot of fun. They're a young team that has a lot of fun when they're out there on the field. But in terms of a great team, The 2014 Royals, when they were a wild card team, that team was fighting with people. Same thing. I mean, a lot of the fights happened early 2015, but the 2014 team did too. Yordano Ventura and Kelvin Herrera and Lorenzo Cain going at it with Chris Sale and Salvador Perez, all those guys. So I get that there's a little bit of like, hey, Tim Anderson, the White Sox suck. So what are you doing? He's hit a home run. He's having fun. And by the way, there's not going to be that many moments for fun. The team's not very good. So let him have it. But the idea that you have to be in the playoffs in order to show emotion or celebration or have played in big games in order to like be grandfathered in to play the game with emotion is the height of hypocrisy coming from a member who was the charter member of playing the game with emotion on the 2014 Royals, who never had been to anything. They hadn't been to the playoffs in 29 years in 2014. 28 years in 2014, 29 years since they won the World Series when they won it in 2015. But, like, it's just, I was very disappointed with my guy. But what is it, Tanny, what is it about Tim Anderson?
That's what I want to know. Like, there's a layer here that I'm sure we'll find out later, but it doesn't make sense to me. Unless Perez was sticking up for his young pitcher who had been struggling up to that point, and you're just trying to show a little support for him. You know, like, I don't know if it's the fact that he's just mad that the White Sox are finally beating them. There's a layer here that we don't know, because on paper this just doesn't make sense. Because Anderson's a chatty guy. Whenever someone gets on base against the Sox, which is often,
yeah,
he's always, you know, talking it up with them. And, like, he seems to be generally liked around the league. Like, people, you know, seem to not be bothered. He's not like AJ type, you know what I mean, where people just like kind of,
yeah,
hate him, you know. So it doesn't make sense to me.
So yeah,
the Verlander thing, I get it.
Like, maybe Tim Anderson said something extra, but Sal Perez didn't. What you just played post game was him not backing off of what happened with,
right,
Tim Anderson. Like, if he would have said Tim Anderson said F the Royals, I feel like Salvador Perez would have shared that detail with us.
And it's obviously stemming back from opening day where,
yeah,
Anderson homered twice. So, you know, there's simmering tension from that too. But overall, I think it's just a guy who's mad that, you know, he's in the middle of the rebuild process when he was there. But he should know, because he was there when times were really tough too. So he should know what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were trying to have fun then too. Baseball culture sucks. It's just like, it's such a great game and it's such a great sport. But like, God, the whole sport needs to just relax a little bit. Michael Lombardi, the man is not shy with an opinion. We will see what he thinks about the draft, drafting running backs high, the investment in rookies, the quarterbacks. We'll talk some football and the Bears with Michael Lombardi next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.